TPBeat.com.
I'm going hard for my God like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, say bye-bye to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like Dietrich Haller, had your way however you choose to. Just that you will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with his
man. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can go over and go all living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably see me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably see me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He love me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that pose the teachers are that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing, growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving, my blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving, I'm living for his purpose. Giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Good evening. My name is Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, and I want to welcome all of you to Runner for Christ Ministries Bible Reading Class. We thank God for each one of you that join in with us every week, and we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday evening. Tonight, we will be reading Proverbs chapter 6 to 10, and following that, we will begin answering the review questions. If you would like to take part in answering the review questions or make a comment, just press the number 1, and that will put you in the host queue, and your mic will be open for you to answer or ask a question or make a comment. Please do us a huge favor by keeping all background noise to zero if possible. A good way to do this is to simply mute your phone when you are not speaking and unmuting when you want to speak. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here today. Bless every listener. Bless everyone that wanted to attend that could not, Lord, allow them grace to come back later and review later with you. Thank you for all the teachers that are on here with us as we all are learning together. Bless every listening ear, Lord, again. Bless our nation as we continue to heal, Lord, and allow us to continue to move in a way that is in your will and no one else's. And again, allow us to have an amazing evening. And thank you again for just giving us life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we will listen to chapters 6 through 10, and I will see you on the other side.
Proverbs 6, my son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go to the point of exhaustion and give your neighbor no rest. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. A troublemaker and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks maliciously with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart. He always stirs up conflict. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp. This teaching is a light. And correction and instruction are the way to life, keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For a prostitute can be had for a loaf of bread, but another man's wife preys on your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it cost him all the wealth of his house. But a man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse a bribe, however great it is. Proverbs 7, my son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and to insight, you are my relative. They will keep you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. At the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who had no sense. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, "Today I fulfilled my vows, and I have food from my fellowship offering at home. So I came out to meet you, I looked for you, and have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon." With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Proverbs 8. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud, "To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. For my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. By me kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me princes govern and nobles, all who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me, and making their treasuries full. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place. When he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep. When he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command. And when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. Proverbs 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight." Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Proverbs 10. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Blessings crown the head of the righteous, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. The name of the righteous is used in blessings, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Whoever winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of one who has no sense. The wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. The wages of the righteous is life, but the earnings of the wicked are sin and death. Whoever heeds a discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. A fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, but a person of understanding delights in wisdom. What the wicked dread will overtake them. What the righteous desire will be granted. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. The prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. The way of the Lord is a refuge for the blameless, but it is the ruin of those who do evil. The righteous will never be uprooted, but the wicked will not remain in the land. From the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be silenced. The lips of the righteous know what finds favor, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse.
Do the review. Okie dokie. Now we're going to do the review question. Proverbs chapter 6 through 10. Question number one. We are to be like the elephant. True or false?
I have false.
Okay.
I had verses 6 through 11. But somebody has to read it because I'm not in my vehicle. I mean, I'm not in the house.
Okay. I can read it. And thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So it says in a New Living Translation, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Thank you again.
And I did hear that pound for pound, anything that's on earth, the ant do more work than any of us that live.
Yeah, and they so little.
Yeah.
It's crazy, and they strong. So that, yeah.
Yeah, right. Pound for pound, for their size, they'll get a group to carry something over to where they want it to be.
Yep, and get it done.
Yeah.
All right, number two. What are we to do with our parents' instructions?
Chapter six, verses six through eleven.
Okay.
6 through 10.
I had 6 through 8 at first, but I know y'all like being extra thorough, so I was okay with. I'm okay with any answer. I'm not even gonna lie.
Okay.
All right. All right. Number two, what are we to do with our parents' instructions?
That'd be 7, 1 through 3.
What?
Close. We still in chapter 6.
What number was it?
Number two, what are we to do?
No. I mean, what was the answer?
Oh, she said 7, 1 through 3. The answer is 6:20 through 20. Yep, 6:20 through 24. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And if you want a more concise answer, I had 20 through 22. I just did 24 to be thorough.
Yeah, I had 20 on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, okay. It's up. Okay. You want me to read it?
Yeah, please.
What is it? Okay. What was it? 6:20? Okay. It says,
yep, 22.
Okay. It says, my son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instructions and keep their word always in your heart. Tie them around your neck when you walk. Their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you.
Amen. Thank you. And we all know listening to our parents is probably the best idea. All right. Especially if they're telling us something wise. Number three, if a thief is caught, how much must he pay?
And that's 7:30, 30 through 31.
Oh, you got all the good answers. Oh, 6:30 through 31. Yep. 6:30 through 31. Yep.
or the six.
You want to read it or you want me to read it?
I read it. Okay. So excuses might be found for a thief who steals because he is starving. But if he is caught, he must pay back seven times what he stole, even if he has to sell everything in his house.
Okay. Thank you. All right, number four. Love blank and make blank your kin. So I had chapter 7, verse 4. And it says, love wisdom like a sister, make insight a beloved member of your family.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okie dokie. Number 5. It is permissible to let your heart stray toward the immoral woman or harlot. True or false? Good.
Is it
7:25-27. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. It says, don't let your heart stray away toward her. Don't wander down her wayward path, for she has been the ruin of many. Many men have been her victims. Her house is the road to the grave, and her bedroom is the den of death.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Number 6. Is wisdom always right?
Is that chapter 8, 6 and 7?
Yes. Thank you, Mike. How are you?
All right. You?
Good.
All right. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness.
Amen. All right. Number 7. Wisdom.
Hello.
With blank. Hi. How are you?
Hi. Am I on the air?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Am I able to speak?
Yep, we're doing number 7.
Oh, I know I can let you finish. I don't want to interrupt.
Okay. Okay. Number 7. Wisdom dwells with blank and knows how to find blank. So I have chapter 8, verse 12.
Sure. Yeah.
I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. Okie dokie. And again, whenever you want to comment or ask a question or anything, don't hesitate to chime in. I'll definitely pause and we can have a whole conversation.
Excuse me. That was a caller from Mississippi. He probably thought we were just like, you know, like Cat Show. You can call in and just talk or comment or something like that.
Okay.
You know, he that was a 337 area code from Mississippi. Mississippi.
Okay.
All right. I mean, New Orleans. I think it was Mississippi or New Orleans, one of them. But
okay.
We're all over the place. All right.
That's exciting. Mm-hmm. All right. Number 8, wisdom was created before mankind.
That's false, I think. 8:22-31.
So it's true, and then it's 8:22-31.
Before mankind.
Yep.
It says the Lord formed me from the beginning before he created anything else. That's it?
Yep. Okay. Yep, that's it. That's it. Sorry. So
yeah,
number eight is...
I heard true.
Oh, it's fine. No worries, Kathy. It's true. And chapter 8, verse 22 is the answer. I'm going to read the footnote right here at the bottom. It says, God says that wisdom is primary and fundamental, the foundation on which all of life is built. In the New Testament, the apostles Paul and John may have alluded to some of Solomon's statements about wisdom to describe Christ's presence at the creation of the world. And the references were Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, and then Revelation chapter 3, verses 14. Okie dokie. All right, number 9. What are the benefits of finding wisdom?
That,
I have, oh, go ahead.
Oh, God. Is that chapter 8, verses 32 through 36?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Do not disregard. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. For those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Number 10. Wisdom is intending to have a private banquet. True or false?
Is it 1 through 6 and 9? 9, 1 through 6?
Yes. Right on the mark.
Okay. The wisdom has built her house, and she has carved its 7 columns. She has prepared a great banquet mixed with wines and set the table. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come. She calls out from the heights overlooking the city. Come in with me, she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways behind and begin to live, learn to use good judgment.
Amen. So one of the things I want to add right there is to make sure that we're using wisdom because she's not private. She definitely wants us to come embrace totally what God has to offer through her. Amen. Number 11, what is the foundation of wisdom?
Is it 10, 9?
Number 10?
Yep, 9 verse 10.
Yeah.
Okay,
I need somebody to read it, please.
Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment.
Amen. This verse actually came up on one of the popular verses of Proverbs. And so it was just interesting because I was like, it's so important. All right. Number 12, a foolish woman is quiet.
It says the woman named Folly is rash. She is ignorant and doesn't know it. She sits in her doorway on the heights overlooking the city. She calls out to men going by who are minding their own business. Come in with me, she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, stolen water is refreshing. Food eaten in secret tastes best. But little do they know that the dead are there. Her guests are in the depths of the grave.
Right. She causes some damage, huh? Amen. Thank you. number 13, blank are for the righteous and blank is for the wicked. And I will say this one is between verses 5 and 8, because after listening to it, I was like, well, this is what I know in chapter 10. So this one I had chapter 10, verses 6 through 7, specifically. And so it says, the godly are showered with blessings. The words of the wicked conveil violent intentions. We have happy memories of the godly, but the name of the wicked person rots away. All right. Number 14. What does a wise man store and a foolish man? What does a foolish man store?
Would that be 10:14?
Yes. I was just over here thinking, like, I hope that wasn't a super hard question.
Take a minute. Wise people treasure knowledge, but the babbling of a fool invites disaster.
Amen. Amen. All right, last one. Number 15. The mouth or lips of the godly speak perverse things, true or false?
Yeah, false.
Mm-hmm.
And it answers in chapter 10, verse 32.
Yes.
All right. The lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speak perverse words.
Amen. All right. It says, I have a footnote for that one. Words for a godly person are valuable. That's why God calls it like sterling silver. A little good advice has more value than a lot of bad advice. It is easy to get opinions from people who will tell us only what they think will please us. But such counsel does not really help. Instead, we should look for those who speak the truth to us, even when it hurts. Think about the person you count on for advice. What do you expect to hear from them? That one kind of stuck out for me because I'm a person that wants to hear what I want to hear. And so to know that sometimes I have to hear opposite, gives me more room for improvement, needless to say. Okay, I wanted to do chapter summaries. Chapter 6, it says, beware of guaranteeing a loan for someone else. The 7 things that Jehovah hates. And then guard against a bad woman or a foolish woman or a foolish person. Chapter 7 reminds us to embrace God's commands and live. Chapter 8 uses personification to describe wisdom as she speaks. Chapter 9 talks about how wisdom invites and how truly embracing she wants us to be with her. Chapter 10, it talks about a wise son makes his father rejoice. Diligent hands bring riches. The use of many words brings transgression. Jehovah's blessing makes us prosper and rich later on if we follow his will. And then the fear of Jehovah prolongs our life. I definitely appreciate everyone that came out to listen and participate and answer questions. I had a really good time teaching Proverbs, and let us pray. Lord, thank you for giving us vivid instructions on what to do, what not to do, who to listen to, who not to listen to. Thank you for just allowing us every day to have another chance to just do it over if we get it wrong. Thank you for the opportunity to continue to build our treasures up in heaven with you based on the decisions that we make through you on this earth. Thank you for allowing us to just be able to be in your presence and absorb your wisdom. And thank you for being so gracious enough to pour wisdom into us on a daily if that's what we choose. Lord, allow us all to have amazing weeks. Thank you for all the listeners. Bless all the teachers. Thank you for our chief pastor and just his intentional ways of just pouring into people and allowing them to grow through you, Lord. Thank you for Run for Christ Ministries And again, bless everyone that's listening and bless the entire nation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome work. Awesome job. I mean, boy, we shot through them questions real quick. But that was that's good work. Any questions, any comments, any discussion? I like how you summarized those chapters. You know, chapter 6 is full. You know, those 6 things that the Lord hates and talks about, you know, co-signing, and it talks about, you know, those snares that we can avoid. Now, when it talks about that woman, that prostitute, literally, it was a warning, right? Sleeping with another man's wife, or a wife trying to entice a man to sleep with her. But was he really talking about that? Or is there another kind of prostitution that he's talking about? Since wisdom is portrayed and personified as I guess a woman, right? And then there's this other woman. So just off the top of your head, what would y'all think, you know, all together, what would y'all think that what else was he talking about? What was he really talking about? Who is wisdom? What is wisdom? I mean, wisdom is portrayed in here as she can do this, she can do that. Now, wisdom,
right.
Now, if wisdom is personified as she, then why did God make the woman? Come alongside the man to help him do God's
make
will.
Yep.
So what is wisdom? Wisdom seems to be God's word. Wisdom seems to be God's way. Wisdom seems to be his kingdom and his righteousness.
That's why she was in the beginning.
Huh?
That's why she was in the beginning.
That's why she was in the beginning. And a lot of people, and I thank God that you read that footnote on that, because a lot of people try to make that Christ, or it's saying that this was Christ and his acts in the beginning. But Christ was not in the Old Testament. He was there at the act of creation, because we know that the Trinity, how it functions from what Jesus told us in John chapter 16, God says it, Jesus speaks it, and then the Holy Spirit speaks it to us. In the act of creation, there was no Jesus. There was God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So if you will, God thought it, Jesus verbalized it, the Holy Spirit made it happen. And that's the way they function in creation. So when they created man, and then they created woman, they brought the woman to the man's side so that he could do what God said in 21, be fruitful, multiply, increase in earth, subdue it. He can't do that by himself because he wasn't made like a seahorse who can have babies, male or female, okay? So he couldn't do that. So God brought a woman to his side. Now, we become children of God, followers of God. And what does he bring to our side? His word.
His word.
Yeah. Deuteronomy says it perfectly. Deuteronomy 20, I think Nicole Seabrooks taught that book. It was Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the very first words, it says, if you fully obey and carefully follow all these decrees that I'm giving you today, then all this good stuff in the first 14 verses, all that good stuff would happen to you. And so wisdom then, simply put, is doing things God's way, knowing what God said and then applying it. What do we say about faith? Faith is knowing what God said and doing it.
Doing it.
Nothing else is faith. Everything is approaching that, but it's really not acted out faith until you do it. James tells us, don't be what? Just a hearer, but a
doer.
Right. Yeah. So wisdom is portrayed that way. Any comments, any questions? It was a good class, and I mean, and it's real. Some Proverbs is so full, though. Solomon, you know, these are those days when the wisdom was just flowing, and then he got into the Song of Solomon days, and then into the Ecclesiastes days, those old days. But he, you know, real interesting man, real interesting character. Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Awesome word on Sunday. I was able to quote you a few times and the things I had to do this week, and it helped me out. You know, generational discipleship came in real handy when that issue came up and somebody had preached about it, and I was able to be able to comment on that. Okay, what do we have here? Friday, June. Okay, I think Kathy wanted to say something. I'm supposed to be doing what? Okay. Something came up. I don't know. Okay.
I'm sorry. That was the services for Keela's aunt.
Okay, because I can't see it on my phone. I can't see that.
Okay.
So go ahead and tell them, because I was getting ready to talk about Keela. So go, but I didn't know. So go ahead and tell, and then we can.
Yeah. Okay, her aunt's name is Elizabeth Bailey, and her services is going to be Friday, June the 10th, and Saturday, June the 11th. So Friday is the visitations, 5 to 7 at Clover Funeral Home, and then from 5 to 7, and then Saturday, June 11th at 3 o'clock. Family hour, and then 3:30 following the service at 3:30, the funeral service at 3:30. So family hour at 3 on Saturday to 3:30, and then 3:30 is the funeral going to start at Clover.
Okay.
In Riverwood.
So that'll be 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's Friday. Say that again.
Yep.
Friday,
Elizabeth Bailey, Friday, June the 10th, visitation from 5 to 7. Mm-hmm. And that's at Clora Funeral Home in River Ridge.
Okay.
And then Saturday, June 11th. Got that. Then Saturday, June 11th at 3 o'clock is the family hour, and then 3:30 is the funeral. Same place, Clora.
Okay. Okay, you got to give me some of that. The Holy Ghost whispering in my ear. Anita Chambers' mother is on June 11th. Also, but they're at different times. I don't know what time it is, but they're on different times. But also keep Anita Chambers in prayer. Keep Keela in prayer. Joseph Stevens, Elder Stevens, will be preaching this Saturday. I'll be preaching this Sunday. And then we want to keep the people in Buffalo and Texas in prayer. And our government leaders, they all need prayer. They all need God's help. Church, in your prayers for this world, for this government, for these people, if you got your biblicals, turn in your biblical to 2 Chronicles. This is the Lord want you to know, because the world not going to understand or get it. But he doesn't want you to not get it or understand. So,
okay.
I think it's 2 Chronicles 15. Yeah, I mean 2 Chronicles 15. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, turn to 2 Chronicles 15. The Lord want to give you guidance on how you should pray about the things that's going on in this world. I'm going to read this, then I'm going to talk a little bit, and then we'll be, you know, good. Everybody there, Second Chronicles chapter 15, because see, the Lord hearing a whole lot of prayers for this world. He's not here to save the world, but a people. He's here to take out of this world a people for himself. He's going to destroy this, so your prayers about this and these governments might not be all that effective. So listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded, and he went out to meet King Asa as he was returning from the battle. Listen to me, Asa, he shouted. Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach them, and without the law to instruct them. But whenever they were in trouble and turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him out, they found him. Now listen to these verses right here. During those dark times, it was not safe to travel. Problems troubled the people on every land. Nation fought against nation, and city against city. For God was troubling them with every kind of problem. But as for you, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. Now, the things we see going on in the world today, one disaster after another, global warming taking off and going completely crazy, pandemics all over the place, shootings all over the place, wars and threats of wars or rumors of wars, these are all the beginning of woes. So this is, we're living in the end times. And these are the things that God said would happen. But we are not responding the way God wants us to respond. Told us before these things happen, so when we see all these things happening, our response is to rejoice. Not that these things are happening and people are getting all messed up, but to rejoice because God's about to keep his promise. Jesus said he was coming back to get us. He's about to do that. But until the Lord gets here, look at these times differently. God's making folks are being troubled on every hand. So the point here is, if God is troubling the world, and he is, then he's the answer. And we are God's representatives here on earth. This is what we're reading. Go to 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Sarah, for allowing me to do this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to read some of these verses in chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 14. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive the new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. Christ is making his appeal through us. Christ is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, go with me real quick. Don't run, don't trip, don't fall, but go with me real quick over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Okay, don't run, don't trip, don't fall. We're going to 2 Timothy, and we're going to chapter 3. The Lord wants you to have this stuff so he'll stop hearing prayers to fix what he is doing. He is not going to stop. He told us he was going to do this. These times have come. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends and be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away, people like that. Okay? Now, this is where we are. We have traveled through those churches over in the book of Revelation. Those churches mark out history from the birth of the New Testament church to our current day. There are two prevailing churches in the world today, and you are a member of one or the other. You are a member of the Philadelphian church if you are active for the Lord and engaged in the work. And this is what the Lord has to say to you. Go to Revelation chapter 3. And let's look at the Philadelphian church. These churches, when I was studying Christian history with, I think it's the only black man I know that wrote a book on Christian history. I think his name was Otis Williams. Otis Thompson. And I was studying with him, and he did some real interesting work. He connected each particular period in history to these churches. He was looking at the behavior of the church in some years, in a number of, like between AD 30 to AD 61. That's the Ephesian church. Okay? So this church here in Philadelphia, most scholars believe two churches exist today. You're either in the Church of Philadelphia or you're in the Church of Laodicea. Now, this is what the Lord says to those in the Philadelphian church. See if these attributes or characteristics are you. Write this letter to the angel of the church at Philadelphia, and he is talking about the pastor of that church. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David, who opens, no one can close, and what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you've obeyed my word and did not deny me. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but are not, to come and bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the one I love. Because you've obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing, the tribulation period, that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Anyone who has ears to hear must listen to what the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Now, you could also be a member of the Laodicean church. This church is poor in spirit, Philadelphia. They trust, lean, and rely on the Lord for everything. On the other hand, here's the church of Laodicea. They don't trust, lean, and rely on the Lord for anything. They trust, lean, and rely on the things of the Lord, but not the Lord. Write this letter to the angel of the church at Laodicea, the pastor of that church. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And don't realize that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you'll be rich. Also buy white garments from me. In other words, get rid of your self-righteousness and be robed in the righteousness of Christ. Buy white garments from me so you'll not be shamed by your nakedness. An ointment for your eyes. This is start following the Holy Spirit rather than looking through your own eyes. An ointment for your eyes so you'll be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. This is a warning to those kinds of Christians who are Laodicean. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone who with ears to hear must listen to what the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. So, in closing, the Lord is shaking up the world, and he is not going to stop. The Lord is troubling the earth, and he is not going to stop. He is not troubling the church unless you're a lackadaisical Laodicean Christian. You don't go to Bible class. You don't go to no Sunday schools. You don't go to do no home Bible study. You just go to church sometime. You're a Laodicean Christian. If you are studying to show yourself approved unto God, so you can become a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but one who God knows can rightly divide his word of truth, then you're a Philadelphian Christian. This is a warning from the Lord for Laodicean Christians who have gotten something else other than God that seems to have made you satisfied. Turn from that and turn to him. And Philadelphian Christians, just keep up the good fight and keep on working. Keep on studying. Let God keep on see you studying at home by yourself. It's just you and the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord see you in a Bible class like this and see you intentionally really trying to learn. God knows. God is God, and he knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything. So he knows if you're really into him or not. Whatever the case, you belong to him. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, Laodicean the Christian or not, okay, you belong to him. But we will all go back to 2 Corinthians. This is my real super close, Jesus. Is this a real super close? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Lord Jesus. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged, not as to whether we're coming to heaven or going to hell. That's the done deal. We've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We're going to heaven. Okay? So so it's a done deal. That's not what he's talking about here. What he is talking about here is we will each receive whatever we deserve for the good, Philadelphian Christian, or evil, Laodicean Christian, for what we have done in this earthly body. So if we're really working for Jesus and Jesus knows we're really busy for him, okay, then we're going to get rewarded for everything we do for him. But if we're just the Laodicean Christian and we're just going through the motions till Jesus come back and get us, then you'll go to heaven. And but as far as receiving eternal rewards, as it talks about in Luke chapter 16, those won't be yours because you didn't do anything. If you don't go to work all week, you kind of look funny standing in the paycheck line thinking you're going to get a big old full check. You're not doing that. You're deceiving yourself. You might as well step out the line. They don't have no check for you because you didn't come into work. So the Lord is stirring up the earth, number one, so don't ask him to stop, but ask him to keep you, keep your family, keep your brothers and sisters in Christ. He'll do that. Look, my wife and I was talking about this earlier. And the world is going crazy, just like Egypt was going crazy because God was making Egypt go crazy, right? He was raining down them 10 plagues. But his people were over in the land of Goshen, and that's in Egypt. And none of that was happening in central Egypt was happening in Goshen where God's people were. So even though it happens to all the people around us, keep busy for the Lord, and he'll keep you safe. Because when Moses had to go back to Pharaoh to ask him, was he ready to let the people go back, he walked right through whatever plague it was. Even when the plague of death came, didn't do nothing to God's people. But about rewards, if you want rewards, okay. Okay, I got the rest of the information now. On Anita Chambers, Mom. June 11th, the family hour is at 10 a.m. The service is at 11 a.m. at Community AME Church, 4010 17th Street in Ecorse, Michigan. Keep her in your prayers. Amen.
June
11th. Any more? Any more ghosts? Okay, baby ghost is exhausted, so amen. Okay, now we're getting news off TV. Okay, anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. we'll see y'all next week. Amen.
See you next week.
See, thanks again, Sarah. Tell James
and
the kids we say what's up.
I will.
Put them
out. So,
see you
later.
Oh, you put them out.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Y'all have a good evening. Be blessed now.
You too.
Next week, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, she's going to have the reins.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through, calling all my friends, asking what's the move, feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today.
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way, the only road I'm walking is the one I pick, catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today.
This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful. Today. I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast,
life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your road. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I ain't gonna let it slip away. Nah, I'm gonna be joyful. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart. Today, today.